Amen. This morning for being such an awesome God. Come on, you can do better than that. Amen. Amen. He is certainly worthy of the praise. Amen. We give honor to this awesome God that we serve. Amen. To the very fine First Lady, Dr. Shirley Durham. Amen. To all of the mothers, amen, that are here this morning. The truth of the matter, if it wasn't for your mother, you wouldn't be here. Amen. And so we have to learn how to value those, amen, that look at your neighbor and say, put up with me. Mama gonna put up with you a whole lot longer than daddy will. Amen. Amen. And so we are also glad to see, amen, somebody that is one of our newest members here, Sister Lamika. Mika. Amen. I'm looking for you every Sunday now, and when I come out, when I don't see you, I want you to know that you've gotten on the pastor's heart. Amen. And that's not a bad thing, because when you're on the pastor's heart, that means that he's praying for you. Amen. And so if I send you a text or I send you a phone call, it's because God has placed you on my heart. Amen. And so it's a good thing to be, amen, on the heart of the pastor. Amen. We also want to express our condolences, amen, to Sister Burke, who lost a family member on this week. But yes, she's in the service. Look at your neighbor, so you can take a note from that. Amen. Amen. This morning, I want to ask you to turn with us to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 1, and our reading we'll begin at verse number 10. Now, I'm going to ask you to do the godly thing. If you see somebody that doesn't have a Bible, I want you to share with them this morning. Amen. How many know that it's important for us to know and read the word for ourselves? First Kings chapter 1. And the reading begins at verse number 10. But Nathan the prophet and Benaiah and the mighty men and Solomon's, his brothers, he called not. Wherefore Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, has thou not heard that Ananias, amen, the son of Haggith, do ring, and David our Lord knoweth it not? Now therefore come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel. Look at your neighbor and say, give thee counsel. That thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon. Go and get thee unto King David, and say unto him, didst not thou, my lord, O king, swear unto thy handmaid, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. Why then do Ananias ring? Behold, while thou yet talkest there with the king, I also will come in after thee and confirm thy words. Amen. From this collection of scriptures this morning, I want to talk to you from the subject, and just look at your name and say, Mama, a lot is riding on your prayer. Look at your other neighbor and say, did you get that? Amen. Tell him one more time, Mama, a lot is riding on your prayer. Amen. Some of you looking at me and saying, what is he going to do with that? Look at your neighbor and say, just stay with him. Amen. If you pray, I believe God will put it together. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just bless you and we thank you for being such an awesome God. And we pray this morning that as your word goes forth, that it goes forth with clarity and with understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Oftentimes, I don't think that we really realize, amen, the power of a mother's prayer. And oftentimes, I think that mothers feel good doing the pregnancy, and they will remind, amen, the husband that I'm carrying your child. And because I'm carrying your child, if I want pickles and sardines at 3 a.m. in the morning, I expect you to get up and get them for me. Amen. And I've heard countless brothers talk about they're killing me, you know, because of the stuff that they want and when they want it. And so they feel this sense of entitlement. Amen. But can I tell you that it goes beyond the 9 months? And oftentimes mothers are praying that they have a healthy child, that there are no complications. Amen. But it goes beyond that. Amen. Because God knows, amen, the heart of a mother, that a mother won't give up on her child. Amen. And so, amen, not only did the mother carry the child for 9 months, but mama is still praying when everybody else have given up on you. Son could be on death row, but she'll fight and try to get him acquitted because she'll say, that's my baby. Amen. And so we got to learn how to appreciate mama. Amen. But as we look at our text today, I'm going to talk about mama a little bit here, but let me at least address the text. Amen. When we look at the text, amen, we see that a promise was made, amen, to Solomon. Amen, that he was going to be the next heir, amen, or the next king, amen, over God's people. But now how many know that Satan is trying to steal what God has blessed you with? Amen. Now, when we look, we see that David, amen, had already lost two sons. Amen. One was killed, amen, by, amen, one of his generals, and another one just died prematurely. Amen. And so, amen, this son, Angenai, the Bible says that he was an opportunist. Anybody know what an opportunist is? It's what's in it for me. I'm really not concerned about, amen, the situation, but how can I be elevated in this situation? You see, a real leader looks at a crisis and asks, what can I do that will best help the people? But an opportunist looks at a crisis and asks, how can I use this situation to promote myself and get what I want? Amen. But in our story today, I need to tell you that that was a praying mother, amen, that prayed because God had made her a promise. Amen. And how many times have God made you mothers a promise that he was going to save your children? And I know sometimes it don't look like, amen, that promise is going to be fulfilled. Amen. But look at your neighbor and say, don't give up on God. Amen. And so, amen, now let me tell you what an opportunist does. An opportunist usually shows up uninvited, focuses attention on themselves, and ends up making a crisis worse. Amen. And now this is what David's oldest son, Aginah, did. Amen. Now, the Bible says that Aginah was David's oldest living son and was probably about 35 years old. Can I tell you that your rank, your birthright does not guarantee you, amen, a spot that you think you deserve? Because God is not concerned about how old you are. God is concerned about your anointing and your ability to be obedient to him. Churches fall out, amen, with one another because they think that I should be the next one in line. But can I tell you that God has already picked you out and your purpose long before you was here? You say, preacher, I don't believe that. That's okay. I brought my King James with me this morning. Can I tell you, amen, that the Bible says that he told Jeremiah, he said, before you was in your mother's womb, I had already called you out. Look at your neighbor and tell him, God's already called you out. Some of y'all trying to shout like the world, but they look at you and say, you don't belong over here. Some of you are trying to talk like the world and do things like the world, but you don't belong over there. Amen. Because mama been praying on you, not only for you, but mama's been praying on you. Lord, save my child. Lord, turn them around. Lord, work it out. Lord, stir the heart. Lord, don't let them sleep at night. God, deal with their conscience. And you can't figure out why you can't sleep. But I heard somebody say, I had a praying grandmother. Amen. But aren't you glad? Amen. That God, amen, hears your prayer. Amen. I got to move on him. But I need to tell him. Here it is. Amen. His son, his oldest son, he says, I'm 35 and I'm the oldest one living. And so I ought to be the next king of Israel. But I already heard God say, amen, that Solomon is going to be the next king. You say, wait a minute, how is Solomon? He's not the oldest, but he is the anointed one. You got to recognize that if God gave him to him, he says, you know what? It's up to you, amen, to fight for the promise that God made to you, mama. Look at your neighbor and say, I can't give up on my children. I know that doing anything and everything but the right thing, but I'm going to keep on praying until something happens. Lord have mercy. I gotta move on him. David's eldest son, he felt like because he was the oldest that he deserved it. Look at your neighbor and say, get your feelings out of the way. Get him the anointing. Get him the Holy Ghost. I need to tell somebody this morning, God, you got to believe what God says. I don't care how it looks. You gotta believe what God says. If God said it, it's coming to pass. But what I need you to know, that no weapon formed against you, it won't prosper. It may get up, it may agitate you, but look at your neighbor and say, if I keep on praying, God's gonna have his way. I
got to move on to him. Amen. And so here it is. God had already told him that I'm going to, put Solomon on the throne. But look out. The king, he was old. He was getting ready to die. But look at your neighbor and say, why the blood still running in my vein? Look at him now and say, don't give up on me. I know I've slowed down, but I still know how to pray. I still know how to call on God. I know I don't move as fast as I used to, but I still know how to say, oh Lord, oh Lord, it's me, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother, it's not my sister, Lord, but it's me standing in the need of prayer. You know, David was so old, amen, that they didn't know if he had any life in him. They wouldn't got a young, fine, hot mama jama. Amen, and say, put her in the bed with him. David said, go on, honey. They said, oh, he's on his way out. Amen. But what they didn't know was David knew how to get a hold of God. He said, my life may be slipping out. He said, but I know how to pray. I know how to get a hold of God. And so look at your neighbor one more time and say, don't give up on me. I know my pulse is slowing down. My heartbeat slowing down. But I got a connection to the God of the universe, and before I go out of here, I'm going to see, I'm going to put things in order. Look at your neighbor, say, it's time to get your orders, it's time to get your life and your affairs in order. Amen. Because see, David should have done this, amen, while he was young. Amen. And so I want to say to the church as a whole, amen, get your affairs in order. What are you talking about, brother preacher? Amen. If you don't have life insurance, look at your neighbor and say, get some life insurance. You said, I got bad health. They got some insurance. You may not be able to afford whole life. Amen. But get you some term insurance. Raise your hand back to insurance agent. Amen. And, look at him. Stand up, brother. Amen. Get you some life insurance. Amen. Because we don't need to be passing around the plate. Amen. And said, don't send flowers, but send money. Because you didn't have your affairs in order. What do this have to do, preacher, with mama? Well, mama is the greatest teacher. Amen. While daddy's working, while daddy's doing his thing, mama step pouring into the children. And so you got to get your affairs in order. Amen. Not only that, but amen, young mothers, you got to start early. Amen. With the college fund. You say, I can't afford it. Get you a life insurance policy. Amen. Whatever. Amen. The cost of it is for college. If it's $40,000, if it's a baby, it's dirt cheap. And by the time they get, to that age, you cash in your policy. Amen. They don't have to, get all broke up, busted up, playing sports and hoping that they get a scholarship. If you plan early, look at your neighbor, and say, neighbor, you need to get a 529 plan. Y'all look that up, all you gurus. Not right now. Now just write it down. Amen. But a 529 plan. Amen. Is an educational. Amen. Plan that if you start early. Amen. By the time. Amen. They get to college age. Amen. You'll be ready. Amen. And you won't have to. Amen. Be worrying about school loans. Amen. You won't have to be worrying about having to pay it back. Amen. You say, well, how come my parents didn't do that for me? Well, they may not have knew. They was doing good just to put a little bread on the table. That was back when there was three folks in one bed. But now everybody have your own bed, your own room, your own TV. Those are luxuries back in my day. Not only do you have your own room, your own bed, but you're walking around with your own cell phone. Amen. You don't know how blessed you are. But can I tell you, it's time to put your priorities, amen, together. If you can spend $800 on a phone, why don't you invest in the future of your child? Somebody said they're leaving home now at 30. Look at your neighbor and say, "Hi, I ain't trying to hear that." No, baby. Amen. Get your education. Now, I'm going to help you out because I'm going to pay for it. Amen. But I don't want you sitting around the nest. Amen. At 30 years old. Well, I got to move on here. Amen. A mother doesn't stop praying, amen, after the baby is born, but a mother, amen, continues throughout the life of a child. Amen. And what I want to tell you, mother, is that your prayers do matter, and they have mighty power in God's eyes. Amen. And so even when it looks like things are not working out, look at your neighbor and say, keep praying. Keep praying. Amen. Because, mama, there's a lot that is riding on your prayer. There's a lot that's riding on your prayer. Amen. Can I tell you that there's some things that you should be praying, amen, for your children. Number one, we as mothers, you should be praying a prayer that your kids connect with God. Don't just assume because they're coming to church that they're going to connect with God. You got to pray, amen, while they're still young and tender, amen, even in your womb, God, that they connect with you. Because how many have been raised in the church, amen, and as soon as you get from up under the roof of your parents, amen, you're like a wild child on the loose. As if you knew nothing about God. And so, number one, you've got to pray, amen, that your kids connect with God. Number two, you've got to pray, amen, that your children honor God. Because we live in a day, amen, where honor is out the door. But if you could teach them early and pray, amen, and say, you've got to learn how to honor and fear God. Number three, pray, amen, they translate that honor into action. What do you mean, preacher? That they're just not, amen, saying that they're honoring God, but, amen, it's a part of their lifestyle every day. Amen, that you know that they had been with God. Those three Hebrew boys, amen, it translated into action. Amen, they say, we will not eat, amen, or we will not bow down. We won't dance to the music. Amen. You can do to us what you want. Amen. But we honor the God that we serve. So much so that I'm willing, amen, to die. Amen for my God. Number four, pray that all well equipped, amen, to meet every daily need. Amen. You see, we got to pray, God, help me to meet every daily need. You know, when we teach them how to learn to value prayer. You know, one of the things that I like that they do at the child care, amen, is that they, when they have their devotion, they would tell the children to write down your prayer request. Put it in the bowl. And then when God answers that prayer, pull it out of the bowl. And so what are you teaching them? You're teaching them the power of prayer. Amen. That you don't have to settle for the situation and the circumstances that you're facing. Then number five, we've got to pray, amen, that your children forgive. Somebody say, help me, Lord Jesus. Because today, back in my day, if we had a fight, whoever won, amen, you just won, and then we went on and forgot about it, but not today. I'm going to get you. And it's not empty words either. Amen. And so we got to pray, Lord, teach my children how to forgive, how to turn things loose. We got to pray that they avoid temptation. You see, now, temptation is going to always be there. But see, you got to pray, Lord, let them avoid it. My grandmother instilled something in us. She said that when you see a fight, go the other way. Well, you know, you want to see a good fight, don't you? But you know, even though I wanted to see that fight, I could remember what grandma was saying. And I would turn and go the other way. Because, you know, some folks get a stray bullet because they're trying to see a good fight and they end up being the talk of the fight. And so we got to pray that they learn how to avoid temptation, because temptation is going to always be there. Not only for them, but for us. Every day we're tempted with something. A fault, an action, a person, a moment of integrity. Well, you know, if you turn your head, you know, I can go ahead and, you know, just pass this like it is. It's just between you and me. No, let's do it the right way. Because I don't want you holding anything over my head. Because before I do that, I'll come out and say, yeah, he came in. Don't fool with me. Because I will tell off on you. If you're trying to squeeze me in a corner, look at your neighbor and say, it won't work. I will tell off. No, help them. Before I retired, whenever they did something, and a couple of my ex-supervisors was here last Sunday, and one of them was notorious for doing things that they wasn't supposed to do, I would report them every time to the HR department. Every time. They said, you need to talk to them because they doing this, and they would call him in on the carpet. And so then they, if they were going to do something that was less than integrity, how could you step out for a moment? I already know what that meant. They were going to be trying to do something that wasn't right. Amen. And so we need to know how to avoid temptation. Amen. Pray that they will have the resources to defeat everything negative. You know, because sometimes we're in circumstances and folks are dangling a carrot before you. But you know, if you pray, and the prayer can't start, you know, when they leave home. You got to start praying these prayers early. Amen. Pray that they will develop relationships that serve to strengthen them. Because there's always a blinking Sally and a deep voice Johnny. Licking his lips like, you know you the one for me, baby. Y'all know I'm talking right. Pray that love will define them. And finally, number 10, you got to pray for the strength of the family. Amen. Because how many know that if the family could get on all on the same page, we would be a strong force. If we could just all get on the same page. But see, the devil has a way of trying to isolate and separate us. Amen. And you know, it seems little, but when you put all of those negative forces together, you know what he does? He's got you at odds with one another. And that was the very thing that he was trying to do, amen, in David's family. Amen. Because now David was anointed. Amen. The Bible said that he was a man after God's own heart. That doesn't mean that he did everything right, because he yielded to some temptations and he created some that he didn't have to be a part of, but God kept working with him. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad God's working with me. Now that's when you should have thong, thong, thong. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, God's working with me. Amen. You know, because if God wasn't working with us, none of us would be here today. Amen. Don't you remember, amen, when God was ready to wipe out the people of God, amen, because they had made him angry, the man of God said, amen, to the high priest, and he said, go and take this blood, he says, and put the sacrifice in front of the tabernacle. But by the time he got there, God had already wiped out 30,000. But Moses knew how, amen, to get before God. Amen. And so you know what? Thank God that he's working with us. Because in the Old Testament, you didn't get a second chance. You messed up. Amen. And so, amen, a mother's prayer should be a prayer of wisdom. Amen. Because wisdom is a supreme. Amen. Wisdom is supreme. So look at your neighbor and say, get wisdom. You know, and whatever else you get, the Bible says, get understanding. Amen. You know, because you, if you're walking around confused, guess what? The children are going to be confused. Well, I don't know. You know, I just, my mama didn't tell me what to do, and I'm waiting on her, and she can't figure it out. Look at your neighbor and say, whatever you do, get wisdom. Amen. And get understanding. Amen. Proverbs 4:7 tells us that not many things in life, amen, comes with this endorsement. That whatever else you get, amen, or whatever else you do, yet Any time, amen, we hear this kind of ultimatum, we know something is about to be said. Amen. And when God is the one who's making this proclamation through his word, you can be sure his advice is worth heeding. And so he says, whatever you do, he said, get wisdom. And he says, and get understanding. And so he says, acquire wisdom. In other words, you've got to go after it. You know, even if you got to beg God, give it to me. But God says that I give it away free for you asking. Amen. And so he says it is of a supreme importance. A prayer, amen, is one of the keys that unlock it. And so if you want to get wisdom, you know how you get it? You get it through prayer. Amen. In fact, prayer yields wisdom, and wisdom yields better prayer. You know, oftentimes I hear people say, amen, that they just love to hear Evangelist Durham pray because they say, you're praying what I'm trying to say. Amen. She's a woman of wisdom. Amen. Because she prays. And the more you pray, guess what? The more wisdom God gives you. Amen. And so he teaches you how to sharpen the tools. And sometimes folks say, well, I don't know how to pray. Amen. Well, can I tell you that prayer is simple? You just talk to God like you talk to your best friend. Hey, girl. But don't call God a girl now. Amen. But you just talk to God, amen, and just tell God what's going on, because you know what it is. As you talk to him, you know what? He can't help but to ooze out his wisdom and his knowledge to you. If you want your life to be better, you got to go to the one who created everything, who knows everything. He knows it even before you think it. Why are you going through all of this unnecessary stuff, amen, when all you gotta do is just pray? There's a lot of mamas that don't like to pray, but can I tell you, your most powerful tool is prayer. They used to say if you got girls, you need to pray. But if you got any children, because you got to watch the girls with the girls, and you got to watch the boys with the boys now, and then you got all of this other stuff talking about, I need to go to the restroom with my new fix. No, baby, you got to pray, amen, for wisdom, that not only that wisdom rests in you, but it rests on your child. You got to pray, Lord, help me to put in them what you have already put in me. You see, wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge, amen, to any given situation. Amen. Making the best choice with the data that I have. Well, don't you know that God already knows the outcome? And so if you go to him, look at your neighbor and say, go to God. If you go to God, God will tell you how to work that thing out. And folks will look at you and say, how did you get to where you are? But you know what you can tell them? Just look at your neighbor and say, baby, failure ain't fair. I need some help on that. Look at your neighbor and say, favor. Oh, I got any preachers in here now? Amen. Favor. Hey. Oh, come on, sing with me now. Tell them favor ain't fair. Amen. And you can throw your head back in humility. Amen. And say, it's not me, but it's the God in me. Because when I spend time with God, he talks to me. Not only does he talk to me, but he tells me I'm special. special. He tells me, amen, that I am a royal priesthood. Amen. And he tells me I don't have to just settle. Amen. He gives me the plan for the situation. Amen. And so wisdom, amen, is what you need. It helps you to see things from God's eternal perspective. Understanding the causes and effects of your decisions and constantly learning from your situation. See, when you get the wisdom of God, it helps you to hit a home run. When you get the wisdom of God, it helps you in your marriage. Amen. It helps you manage your money. Look at your neighbor and say, I need that one. Amen. It helps you to make better choices. Amen. It helps you, amen, to work on your relationships. I don't care how long you've been together, but amen, keep talking to God and say, Lord, make my relationship better. But amen, and God will begin to unfold things. Look at your neighbor and say, it was there all the time. Amen. Point to yourself and say, there is greatness that's locked up in me. If you don't ask God to unlock the wisdom, guess what? It'll just stay in you. Amen. But sometimes God's got to, amen, put you in a corner, amen, and then just force you to talk to him. Amen. But I don't want God to have to force me. I want him to talk to me because I want to talk to him. Amen. And when I talk to God, he tells me how to work out the situation. He makes a bad situation good. See, that can only come from wisdom. Can I tell you, amen, that when Joseph was going through all of those things that he was going through, he didn't understand. But in the end, he told his brothers, he said, what you meant for bad, God meant for good. Look at your neighbor and say, God's going to turn it around. I got to move on here. Amen. But I need to tell you that here's a mother's prayer. She says, I cannot tell you how much I owe to the prayer of a good mother. I remembered her once praying, now, Lord, if my children go on in sin, it will not be from ignorance that they perish. And my soul shall bear swift witness against them at the day of judgment. If they lay not hold on Christ and claim him as the personal Savior. Look at your neighbor and say, when you've done all you know how to do, amen, you don't have to be guilty because they refuse to accept Christ. But look at your neighbor and say, but do your part. Amen. And so as we, amen, look at this story, can I tell you, amen, that the devil will try to steal what God has already promised to you. Amen. And that's why we must pray for wisdom. Here it is. His oldest son says, you know what? My dad is about to die, so I'm going to go ahead and declare that I'm the king. See, now the devil always has a strategy. You know what? He got the man of war who was loyal to David while he was in good health. Isn't it how folks are? As long as everything going good, they're your friend. Lord, you better not announce that you broke. What?
They be fooling with broke folks.
But you the one to help them to get up. And then he got a high priest. But see, now he didn't go to Nathan. Isn't that the way it is? We try to avoid the ones that have a real connection to God. I need to
talk to somebody.
And you go get the weakest folk in the church. They got blood oozing out everywhere, and then here you come trying to bleed on them. And then you both get overwhelmed, and then you both fall in the ditch. Man, but he, just like his brother Absalom, He goes and he, you know what? He declares himself king. He throws a party, but he doesn't invite Solomon. He doesn't invite Bathsheba. He doesn't invite his daddy. You know what? He doesn't invite the prophet Nathan. And so, you know, while he's rejoicing and throwing this party, you know what the people are doing? They said, we're waiting for the king to authenticate this. And so, what? You know what? You can gather some folks up. And you know that sometimes the people in the church, they think, well, you know, they came to me in confidence. And you got your chest all stuck out. Baby, before they came to you, they came to leadership. But they just didn't like what leadership told them. And so they come to you because they like Absalom, Amen, and this other son. They're trying to get somebody on their side. Somebody say, help me, Lord Jesus. Let me finish this up. Amen. And so he throws this party. Amen. But see, when you are a praying mother, amen, God will talk to you. But now the Bible says that Nathan got wind of it, and he said, amen, to Bathsheba, he said, have you heard? Look at your neighbor and say, what's the latest? See, that's what the gossiping folks say. Doc, what's the latest? Mm-hmm. But Nathan said, have you heard what's going on? Look at your neighbor and say, there's a traitor in the camp. Mm-hmm. Same blood, mm-hmm, but a traitor. See, what we got to understand that a lot of time, even in your own family, there's some jealousy. You know what? If you're younger than me, then I feel like I should be doing better than you. But look at your neighbor and say, anointing and favor is not fair. Amen. And so you know what? Don't get caught up in that. Enjoy the blessings of God. Amen. If God is blessing you, just make sure you give him the praise. And so here it is. Amen. Nathan, amen, goes, amen, to Bathsheba. And he said, Bathsheba, he says, look, he says, I need to give you counsel. What do you mean, preacher, counsel? I need to give you wisdom. He said, I need to tell you what to say when you go see your husband. Amen, David. I know he's old, but when you say the right word, look at your neighbor and say, something's going to leap up in him. Amen, because that's what wisdom does. She goes in. Amen. She don't go in working her neck. Somebody say, help me, Lord Jesus.
Go ahead.
You know how you, hey, let me tell you now. She goes in humble.
Yes, humble.
Somebody say, help me, Lord Jesus. Yeah, amen. She goes in humble, amen. And she just says to him, she said, David, you told me that my son, amen. Look at your neighbor. Say, there's a lot riding on your prayer. You told me that my son was going to be the next king. She reminded him, amen, that God told him, amen, that Solomon is going to build, amen, my temple for my glory. Look at your name and tell them, somebody got to keep on praying. Amen, mothers, you got to know that there's going to be opposition. Amen, and so she goes in. Amen, and she says to David, you told me that my baby boy, my baby Solomon was going to be the next king. But there's an uprising. Amen. And so then here comes the prophet Nathan, and he reminds King David of the same thing. And he said, don't you remember a few years ago there was another uprising? And he said, David, I know you don't want a civil war going on. Look at your neighbor and say, what is a civil war? It's when the same kin folks, amen, are fighting against one another. Mother, you're the only one that can keep down the civil war. But you know how you gotta do it? You gotta learn how to pray. You can't look at the circumstances. You can't look at the situation. You can't believe the naysayers, the haters and the doubters. You got to get before God and say, Lord, I'm your child. And Lord, I don't believe you brought me this far. Amen. To lead me now. Lord, you gave me this child. And you told me, oh God, you told me that he was going to be the next king. You got to fight for what God has promised you. If he told you your child, amen, is going to be saved, the more they act up, mother, the more you need to pray. The more they become defiant, the more you need to cry out and say, oh Lord, I'm standing on your promises. I'm standing on your word. God, I'm standing on the word that you gave me for my baby, for my children. I know they're acting up, but God, I believe your word. You see what? It meant his eldest son didn't realize that even though he was old, he hadn't forgot how to pray. He hadn't forgot how to be skillful at war. You see, because if he'd have died, amen, and had not set things in order, there would have been a civil war. And see, Solomon was set up for peace. Didn't know anything about fighting. Because God says that when I put you in place, he says that you're going to be at peace. he says your daddy, you know, and Saul have fought, and now you're in the land that I promised you. And he says that you're not going to have to worry about fighting the battle. Look at your neighbor and say, God's talking to you. He's trying to tell you that you don't have to fight this battle. If you can just learn how to pray, you missing meals, amen, stressed out, ulcers, high blood pressure, amen, all kind of stuff, worrying about your children, baby, put them on the altar. And say, God, I'm giving them to you. And sometimes folks say, no, don't give me to God. You keep praying. No, baby, I'm putting you on the altar. You know, I used to get upset with the saints. Now, I just go before the Lord. Lord, these are your people. You know, Moses got so frustrated with the people. He told God, you'll do me a favor if you just go ahead and take me out. Because, you know, his people can do that, can't they? Go ahead and shake your head, yes. I'm talking about y'all. His people. Yes! Amen. Mother said, you'll be doing me a favor. God, just go and wipe me out. And then he turns around. You know what? When God wants to wipe out the people, he said, Lord, you can't do that. He had to have the heart of a pastor. Because now, I may complain about you, but don't let nobody else. Wait a minute now. All right. Help me, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, wait a minute. You be talking about the saints.
All right.
Sometimes somebody asks, wait a minute. I'm the shepherd. I may say something, but I ain't gonna say much. I'm not gonna talk about you to somebody else.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. But now I make you a little upset with you, but I know where to go. Amen. And so you know what, mother? There's a lot riding on your prayer. Amen. You don't have to accept the condition in the choices. Amen. That your children are doing. You don't have to accept that. Because your prayer holds a whole lot of weight with God. Amen. And so, you know, your most powerful tool is prayer. It always has been. But you know what? You got to keep praying. You know, Bathsheba was able to see her son on the throne. And he was one of the greatest kings. Now he picked up a few habits after his dad that you know he didn't need, but amen. But as long as he was praying and seeking God, he was blessed. And that's a lesson to us today, that as long as we're praying and seeking God, we'll be blessed. Sometime when God begins to bless us, we begin to pull back on God. But don't you know that's where your blessing is in your relationship with God? If he owns the hill and the cattle on the hills, you know, sometimes folks try to get close to millionaires and billionaires. Well, God has more than them. So why don't you get close to him? Because if you get close to him, you're fully covered and well connected. David said, I was young and now I'm old, he said, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging for bread. As the altar workers are coming, there may be somebody here today. Maybe there's a struggling mother. Man, your kids have done everything but the right thing. Maybe you're losing hope. I want to tell you today that it's not time to give up. It's not time to write them off. But it's time just to come and get some help on the journey. As these altar workers are here, you may be saying, I need to go in covenant agreement. Because the Bible says where there are two or three in the midst, he says that I'm in the midst. And so today, if you're here, this is your opportunity to come. This altar call is not just limited to mothers. But if you know you're in need of God's help, if you know there's a void in your life, and it's only God that can fill that void. You've tried many things only to still end up empty. God is here and he wants to fill that void. What he said to Nicodemus was, Nicodemus said, what do I have to do? He says, I'm going to church. He said, but there's still something missing on the inside. And God says that you got to be born again.